Now operating with two microphones, so we should be able to get to questions and comments quicker. So for the sake of our recordings and for the sake of those who may hear us on internet and radio, if you do have a question or comment, we'll get a mic to you, so we'll take care of our media viewers. All right, so if you're on page 25 in your syllabus, we're going to look at a couple of verses, Exodus 20 and Leviticus 19. We're dealing with the third commandment tonight. The third commandment. The first verse is Exodus 20. The second one is Leviticus 19. We'll read the Exodus passage first. Exodus 20 and verse 7 says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." I'm going to read it again. Exodus 20 and verse 7. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless." Some versions say he will not acquit. He will not acquit those that take his name in vain. It means he won't hold them guiltless. They will not escape punishment. One version translates it. They will not escape punishment. So the third commandment is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You know, the principle here, we said that the Ten Commandments do have eternal principles within them, undergirding them. And the principle here, of course, is respect for God, reverence for God, and people can take God's name in vain in quite a number of ways, but you know, all of God's nature and all of his glory, all of his attributes, all of his perfections, all of his being is actually reflected in his name. In Psalms 8 and verse 1, the Bible says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. But Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name." In Psalms 111 and verse 9, the Bible speaks of the name of God and says, "Holy and reverend is your name." So God's name is reverend. It's one of the reasons why many ministers won't take the name reverend for themselves. And call themselves, "Well, I'm Reverend so-and-so," because the Bible says Reverend is his name. So that's, you know, I don't ask people to call me Reverend. I'm Brother Rusty, Pastor Rusty, Dr. Professor Rusty, you know. But, hey, you. Psalms 111:9, "Holy and Reverend is your name." And then, of course, you've got Matthew 6, Jesus teaching us how to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." To be reverenced is his name. To be held in awe, in holy reverence and holy fear. Because his name is, of course, who he is. His name is who he is. It's a revelation of who he is. It speaks of his character. In the book of Exodus chapter 3, remember when the Lord revealed himself in the burning bush to Moses, and Moses says, "Well, who are you, Lord? I mean, who can I say sent me?" And he says, "I am that I am." And he reveals there his eternity, his eternal nature, because, you know, only God is eternal. In all the universe, only God is eternal. Nothing else, no one else. No being is eternal except for God. God had no origin, no beginning, and no end. Even though the soul, we can say the soul possesses immortality, because a person who dies lives on either in heaven or hell, in a place of blessing or punishment. But we are not eternal beings because we had a beginning. No angel is eternal because they had a beginning. Now God, and only God, possesses this attribute. He is eternal. And of course, Christ being God, the Holy Spirit being God, have no origin, no beginning, no time in which they did not exist. Yeah. Here on your syllabus, the principle that, you know, God is to be reverenced, his name to be held in awe. And there's several ways we mentioned here that God's name can be taken in vain. One, by the irreverent use of his name in profanity and cursing and so forth. Second, by false swearing. That would be like perjury. And then the third way, down on the bottom of page 25, would be by a hypocritical lifestyle, by professing Christianity and not living it. You say one thing, you live another. And in that sense, do we take God's name in vain? Well, yes, we do. Now, if you're in Leviticus 19, I want to read a passage over in verse 12. Leviticus 19:12. There's a lot more to this taking God's name in vain than we realize. There's quite a bit here that I would like for us to consider. So in Leviticus 19 and verse 12, God is speaking to the people of Israel. He says, "And you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." Don't swear by my name falsely. So you don't swear an oath, by God, I swear. Better not do that and lie. Don't do that. And he said, "Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God." And profaning the name, so his name can be profaned. What does it mean to profane? It means to dishonor it. It means to stain his name. It means to defile it. It means to bring shame to it. The word actually carries the meaning even of to do injury or to wound or to harm. So we can injure, harm, dishonor, shame, wound the name of God. We have that ability. And we can do it in any of these ways that we just mentioned here about taking God's name in vain. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to consider these three ways: by the irreverent use of his name, by false swearing, perjury, which he speaks of here in Leviticus 19:12, or by a hypocritical lifestyle. And that's what I would, I would like for us to consider these things tonight. Taking God's name in vain. All right, the first thing on the list here is through cursing or profanity or any other irreverent use of God's name. Now, we want to remember, God says his name is holy. His name is holy. Isaiah 57 and verse 15, listen to this. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy." And the name is, remember, what the character is. The name represents who God is. It's his character, his nature, his being, his essence. The Bible says, "Thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy." So he's absolutely holy. His name is holy. It's not to be profaned. And it's certainly not for us to use his name in blasphemous, profane-laced cursing and conversation. In fact, all such is a sin. The Bible says it's a sin. Don't do that. God won't hold him guiltless. He won't find him innocent. He won't acquit, and he will punish those who commit this sin. And so that means Yes, it is a big deal. I'll tell you the danger you run. This, I find this all the time, sometimes I just get so weary of dealing with it that I don't even know what to think sometimes with Christian people, who will say, I make a big deal out of things like this, and it's no big deal. And this is just one for instance, okay? You take, look, everybody does. Everybody cusses. Everybody laces their conversation with a little profanity. Everybody calls on God to damn this. Or everybody uses the name of Jesus Christ as a curse word. Or everybody does it. It's no big deal. According to the Bible, it is a big deal. It's a big deal. God says, I won't hold you guiltless if you do that. Now, I don't think I'm overemphasizing something when I bring things like this out. I believe that if you are, in fact, a sincere Christian with a conscience, then it would bother you to say things like that. It should bother you. And not only that, but you would feel vexed if you were around people that's the way they talk in everyday conversation. Unfortunately, most people have to work in a place where you're working around a bunch of unsaved people, heathen, and the only time they use the name of Jesus Christ is when they curse. They don't curse Vishnu and Rama and Mohammed. They don't curse Allah, but they curse with the name of Jesus. Now, you know the devil arranges that, right? But I don't believe that the Lord says it's no big deal when you use his name as a curse word. The name of Jesus? The name of Jesus? Wait, isn't that the name the Bible says every knee's going to bow before that name? Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we use that name as an expletive? We pepper our conversation with profanity? We call on God to damn this and damn that? Christians should not speak in such a way. I remember when I first committed my life to Christ, got filled with the Holy Spirit in 1974, the first thing the Lord started to deal with was my language. And boy, I tell you, I lost half my vocabulary. But I still remember my dad. You know, my dad was a godly man, and I still remember him telling me one time, I was just a kid. He said, you know, son, the only reason why people curse is because they don't have anything more intelligent to say. And I never forgot that. He was absolutely right. That's why they curse and have anything more intelligent to say. But, I'm still around a lot of people who are not saved, who are very worldly. All the time, having to deal with people in various trades and professions and fishermen and things like that, you know. And I don't know what it is about profanity that makes people think that they're a bigger man when they use it. But I certainly know this. Our tongues are to confess Jesus as Lord, not to curse Jesus Christ. Our tongues are to praise him and praise his name, not to profane his name. And the whole excuse that everybody does it is tragic. It's especially tragic when you're around Christians and their conversation really isn't much different than the unsaved people. Yes, sir. We got a mic coming to you, brother. And if not a mic, a Fred.
I have two questions.
Yes, sir.
For clarification. First one of the things that people say, and it's not so much using it for profanity or anything, when you get surprised or something fantastic happens, yeah, oh, my God. Now, where does that stand in relationship to this? You know, you just get through, oh, my God, did you see that? Or, you know.
Well, I think that's a pretty good question. And I see the OMG all the time showing up in texts and emails and all of that. I don't think it's a good idea, to be honest with you.
Yes, it is.
I don't think that should be our conversation either.
So that should not, in your personal thing, that should not be used as a means of expression for awe or surprise or anything?
I think we probably ought to look for a different expression, personally.
That was my first point. Yeah. Second point, because of the time when these commandments were given, cursing, was it really use of profanity, or was it actually placing a curse, like, you know, when Christ cursed the fig tree and it died, or you place a curse, you know, someone, the curse will go to the third generation, sixth generation, whatever. Is that what they meant when they said, when they used the word cursing back then? Is it really cursing or profanity?
Well, it would probably carry both connotations. But, you know, Christians don't put curses on people, you know. Yeah. That's
a, I was just curious if it was relevant that it was actually a curse and not the use of foul language.
Well, it, you know, a curse is a foul thing.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Kind of going along with that. If you're in a situation like you just escaped an accident, or in the process of, you know, you see this car coming toward you and you call on the Lord's name.
That's not right. A curse
it,
or.
Is it more than our motive behind how we're using some
well,
of
we
this?
Call upon the name of the Lord all the time.
Right.
Yeah. We've been in situations where a car narrowly misses us and we just, Jesus.
Right.
But that's not a person who's mad and throws something on the
right.
ground and.
Right. It's the motive behind
quite,
it as well.
Quite a bit different. We pray for people in the name of Jesus. Come out! But that's the proper use of the name. He tells
right.
us to pray in his name. In my name you'll cast out devils.
Well, kind of along the lines of what you had testified, growing up, cursing was kind of a rite of passage. And I had a horrible, horrible problem with it. After I was saved, an incident took place. I dropped a key in the kitchen. I was trying to put it on a keychain. And the key, it was like the floor swallowed it up. Could not find the key. It was right there. Where could it be? And I just went into a mouth rage. Gordon was outside. The door was open, and he could hear me. And he came inside. Now, I had just been saved, and he hadn't gotten there yet. And he walks in the door. What are you doing? I can hear you outside. And he wasn't cursing. And I was so just broken.
Yeah.
That I prayed and I said, Lord, I don't ever want to do this again. This is not glorifying you.
Right.
And from that moment on, it was never a problem. The Lord delivered me right on the spot. And I really feel that the reason that happened was because I truly did not want it. I truly gave it away and gave it to the Lord. And
amen.
There's no other way that, you know, that could have happened but through the Holy Spirit.
Of course. Well, you know, it's been said, and probably accurately, that this third commandment is the most frequently violated of all the commandments. Because you can violate it in a variety of ways. And we'll look at some more of these in a minute. But in fact, I had read something not long ago, one guy in the entertainment industry. You know, if you watch TV, movies, even music, whatever, it's laced with this. It's laced with profanities and curses and God, calling on God to damn one thing or another. They have no problem using the name of God or calling upon God to damn something or other. But they certainly don't call upon him to save them or deliver them. But this guy in the entertainment industry said, if calling on God's name or using God's name in vain is a sin, he said, then we all in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's absolutely right. Now, Now, the Jews had a whole different take, and to this day, observant Jews, on the name of God, using the name of God. And to this day, if you read things by Jewish theologians, authors, scholars, I'm talking about observant Jews. These are the ones who have a conscience. They won't even write out the name of God. They won't write out G-O-D. They'll write G-hyphen-D. They won't write out Lord, L-O-R-D. They'll write out L-hyphen-R-D. Because they believe so scrupulously that they could defame, desecrate, damage, harm the name of God. And so they won't even spell it out. Now, they have some interesting views on the subject, and I guess I'll talk about that just a little bit. But in Jewish thought, the name is not just something without meaning. It actually conveys the very nature and attributes and essence of what's named. It represents the reputation of what's named. And we have something similar in our own culture. You've heard of how, you know, that, well, they're doing damage to my good name. Because your name speaks of your reputation, of your character, of who you are. It represents something. If you are a company, you have a name. Let's take a company like L.L. Bean, okay? They have a name for producing a quality product, you know, winter clothing, whatever it is. You know, the name. You know, when a company sells out, if you're going to buy a company, you know you have to pay for their name. Now, unless it's a bad name. If your name is Madoff and Company, or, you know, you get it for a third of the price, you know, but... the name represents the very character. Yes, sir. Microphone to you, Senor.
I always wondered how they did that. Like, for instance, when David was going to Nabal, and she and his wife came out to meet him and said, you know, because he turned David away, and she said, well, don't worry about it. As his name is, so is he.
Yeah.
It means foolish.
It means fool, that's right.
So how did his mama know to name him foolish before he was even born, you know?
There's something to be said about maybe how we become what we're named, too. If you call your son stupid all the time, he just becomes convinced, you know? I must be, because that's what Dad calls me, or Mama calls me. Yes. Over.
One day I was asking the Lord what G-O-D stood for. And the O is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. That's God. The O. Now, that's what
He's
came
all
to
of
my,
that.
That's what came to my mind.
Yeah. I copied something off of a Jewish website on the names of God. And, of course, Judaism recognizes that God, there are numerous names that God has in the Bible, numerous names. The most important name is what we call the tetragrammaton in the Hebrew. It's just the four consonants, YHWH or YHVH, however it's pronounced. It's the yod, high, vowel, or wow, high. And it's either YHWH or YHVH. Many believe it's pronounced Yahweh, others maybe Yahweh, but they don't really know 100%, with 100% certainty, how this most sacred of God's names is pronounced. This is referred to as the ineffable name, the unutterable name, the distinctive name, but that is the most sacred of all of God's names. Probably with the Yah at the beginning, Yahweh, Yahweh. I don't know what I'm bumping, but something. Oh, it's the new mic? Okay. Now, as I said before, Jews will not casually write out the name of God. And let me show you why. In the book of Deuteronomy, I want you to look with me over here to chapter 12. I want to show you what the rabbis have said about a passage here, why they will hyphenate instead of writing out G-O-D, it'll be G-hyphen-D, or they won't write out Lord, or they won't write out any name, excuse me, of God. They are afraid that the name of God might be desecrated, that it might be defaced. So they get it from Deuteronomy 12. I'm going to read a passage here beginning in verse 3. Verse 3. Here's where, beginning in verse 2, he says, look, when you take over this land, and he says, verse 2, you'll utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains and the hills and under every green tree. I want you to destroy them. He says, verse 3, you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn down their groves with fire, and you shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. Now, you see that? Destroy the names of them out of that place. All the names of all the false gods, you want to obliterate their names. But then the very next verse says, you shall not do so unto the Lord your God. So the rabbis took that to mean that the name of God should not be treated like the name of the false gods. The false gods' names were to be defaced, obliterated, removed, but the name of God was never to be defaced in any way, even unintentionally. So they won't write it out for fear that even though they wouldn't deface it, somebody else might find it written on a piece of paper and crumple it up. And in that way, the name of God is defaced. The name of God is harmed or injured. So they won't write out the name of God. Interestingly, the rabbis recently decided that it's okay to erase the name of God if you write it on a computer. If you write it out on a computer screen, you can backspace and erase it. That's not a problem. But if you write it out and print it, then it can be defaced by crumpling it up or smudging it or, you know, scribbling over it or whatever. Judaism is a very interesting religion, by the way, but... I'm sorry.
Verse 5.
Okay. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek, and thither shalt thou come. Yeah, this, let me tell you what this is. God is saying, do not take it upon yourself to establish places of worship on these high mountains like the pagans do. They would go up there, they'd worship under the groves, they'd build their altars. He said, do not do that. He said, I'll show you where I want you to put my name. So they could only, and that's what they did with the tabernacle. Later, that's what they did with the temple. It wasn't for them to decide how they were going to worship God. He told them how he'd be worshipped. And
he did tell them to put his name.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they don't have any problem pronouncing God. They'll say it. It's when you write it, you want to, you know, the rabbis, these are later developments, by the way. You know, the rabbis are very concerned about it being written. Yes.
Now, what about the, now you can record somebody talking. Maybe they wouldn't record somebody talks about
God. No, they'll talk about God. They will. But now they won't pronounce Yahweh because they don't know how it's properly pronounced. It is the most sacred of all names. So they may call him God. They don't have any problem saying God or Lord, but Yahweh or Yahweh, they believe is the ineffable, unutterable, inutterable name, the most sacred of all names. And so for fear of taking that name in vain, they won't use it. They do some other strange things, you know, because being Yahweh is the name of God. They even avoid pronouncing El is one of the names of God. Yah is an abbreviated form of Yahweh. So they even shy away from pronouncing a lot of those things. So Adonai becomes Adoshim because Adonai, you don't want to injure that or mispronounce it. Or Eloheinu, Elohim, these are the names of God. They won't pronounce that. They'll call it Elokeinu or Elokim. You don't want to injure the name, but anyway. One thing they say is definitely not the name of God, and that's Jehovah. Because Jehovah is a made-up name. It's so the Jews, while Yahweh or Yahweh, they can't be certain, but they absolutely, the Jews and Christians as well, all know that Jehovah is definitely not the name of God, because it does come from the Tetragrammaton, YHWH, the four consonants, with the vowels of Adonai interposed into them. And so the combination came up with Jehovah. Anyway. I'm sorry, what's that?
Saying Jehovah, would that be taking the Lord's name in vain? Like when you pray Jehovah or
with
reference to Jehovah in any way, is that...
You know, you got a good question there, Brother Lonnie. I have struggled with the use of the very word Jehovah through the years because it's not a name of God. It's a made-up name. It's fabricated. And any study into the subject will tell you that. That's not his name. It was actually invented by a 16th century Catholic scribe. and the Jews absolutely will not use the name. They absolutely will not use it. And a lot of Christians won't use it. I prefer Yahweh, although I'm not 100% sure that's how his name was accurately pronounced. But Jehovah, we know it's definitely not Jehovah. But anyway. The point here is that the name of God is to be treated with respect, that that the Jews believe that the name of God should not be written. It shouldn't be written. That's what they believed, so that it wouldn't be discarded, crumpled up, or defaced in any way. And, of course, they believe the most important name was Yahweh. And yet they also believe that nobody really knows how to pronounce Yahweh. Yes, brother.
Pastor, I've always wondered about this. In the famous Christmas story, Jesus' name was given to Mary by prophecy, and they said his name shall be called Emmanuel, but there's nowhere in Scripture where he was ever referred to that.
Can you tell me? Well, Emmanuel is a Hebrew for God with us. That's what it means. And it's actually a revelation that the child that would be born, that's Isaiah 9:6, that child who would be born would be God with us. He would be, in fact, God. It would be. And when they asked, what shall we name him? His name's going to be, you'll name him Jesus. You know, that's what his name is. And the angel who gave that revelation, you name him Jesus, that's what we have. We have it in the Greek.
In the Jewish language or Jewish custom or Jewish heritage, the letter J was not even in their alphabet. And even in the Spanish tongue, anybody whose name is spelt like Jesus, they don't even pronounce it as Jesus.
The name Jesus is the Old Testament Yahshua,
right.
Joshua.
Right.
It's, you know, the Hebrew is Joshua, and the Greek, Jesus. But yes, sir.
Getting back to the swearing by the Lord's name, what about places in the Old Testament where it says, like, for instance, the Lord do so to me and more also if such and such?
These were oaths.
So that wasn't like a swearing by the Lord's name. But
no, these were oaths, and that brings me to the second point on our point here on the syllabus by false swearing, because I'd like to talk about that a little bit. The Jews, of course, believed that the third commandment, Exodus 20, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, God won't hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. They believed that what it prohibits is swearing by God's name falsely. That's what they believe, that swearing by God's name falsely. They say, but the word in vain, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain, means falsely. That is one of the ways that the word can be translated. You're not to take his name falsely, you're not to take his name frivolously. So you don't take his name when you tell a lie. That's the whole idea. Don't swear to a lie, especially using God's name. You know, using God's name and telling a lie makes God complicit in your deception. God won't hold those who do that guilty, the Bible says. But it goes back to ancient practices in the days in which we have these commandments, and those practices, the practices of the heathen nations. Well, keep this in mind. They're all heathen. They're worshippers of false gods. They have no moral code of conduct, no ethical code of conduct. So the world, the nations surrounding Israel, the people were notorious liars. Notorious liars, frauds, cheats, deceivers, swindlers, of every kind. People without scruples, people without ethics, and nobody believed anything anybody said. Because everybody lied. That's what they do. They lie. Kind of like what? Well, we have some people, we expect them to lie, you know, like the used car salesman. They have the worst reputation of all, you know. Yeah, of course. Fishermen. That fish was this far off the side of the boat when I caught it. But the only way they could maybe have any credibility is if they would swear. They would swear an oath. And they swore by every kind of oath you can imagine. People swear by everything. I swear by the hair on my head. I swear by this or that. But some of the more credible oaths that they made was when they started swearing by their gods. So they would swear, and they had 1,000 gods, so they would swear by, you know, Zeus, Jupiter, Adonis, Aphrodite. They would swear by Baal. They would swear by Molech. Whatever the god would then make these very impressive oaths. Of course, they were horrible liars, and you still couldn't trust anything they said. Now God told Israel, "Don't you do what all these people do? Don't do like the nations." In fact, he told them, when you make an oath, and oaths were commonplace in biblical times, he said, you swear by my name. All these other guys, don't you swear by their names. In fact, he had told them he didn't want their names mentioned. But when you swear by the name of God. You swear by my name. So you would think that would cause them to really take stock before they made some oath or swear. And that's why you have all these passages in the Bible about, look, if you've sworn, if you've made an oath to God, whatever it is, you do what you said. Don't you swear falsely. In fact, on some of these pages that I gave you that we're looking at tonight, where it talks here about false swearing, we've got Deuteronomy 23, 21, 22, and 23. If you vow a vow, you make God a promise, then you better pay it. For the Lord will surely require it of you, and it would be sin in thee. If you make a vow, then you pay it. But if you don't make a vow, then there's no problem. So you're better off not making a vow, right? But if you make one, oh God, you get me out of this, and this is what I'm going to do. Then he says, you better do it. In Psalms 13:14, I'll go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered. My mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. So what do? You better do it. Do what you told God you were going to do. Now God told Israel, of course, that they were to swear by him if they took a vow, swear by his name, and do not swear falsely. That's the third commandment. You know, don't take a vow in vain. Don't use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You've got several passages in the Bible, numerous passages that said you to do it in God's name. Deuteronomy 10:20 is one. You don't have to turn there, but it says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him thou shalt cleave and swear by his name. So any oaths of swearing, you do in his name. And, of course, that's a very solemn oath because you're calling God to bear witness to the truthfulness of what you're saying. God, bear record. And, of course, the heathen, they'd swear by their gods. They had no scruples, and they'd lie, even swearing to God. But the Jew better not do that. If you're swearing, you better not swear to a lie, according to the Jews, because an oath, according to God, is very sacred and very binding and is not to be done frivolously or foolishly. Now, let me tell you what happened from the time you read Deuteronomy, where the oath was a solemn thing. Where are we here? Oath was a solemn thing. It was to be done in the name of God if you were going to swear. But what happened from Deuteronomy until the time of Christ? I want to show you. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 23. The Jews were famous for finding loopholes, for adding to and subtracting from and altering, and, you know, they could come up with some stuff. So in Matthew 23, some of the practices that they're now doing concerning oaths and swearing are absolutely absurd. And Jesus makes mention of this in Matthew 23 when he's talking about the Pharisees and some of the ridiculous things they do. Beginning in verse 16, he says, woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. He says, you fools and blind, what's greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? Now, here's the kind of thing that the Jews were practicing. I swear by the temple. But you see, the temple, well, that was built by men. It's just made out of wood and brick. And I didn't swear by the gold of the temple. Because the gold, you know, that's what lasts for a long time. The gold has real value. The temple itself, just the work of men's hands. So I didn't swear by anything costly. I didn't swear by anything eternal. It's like somebody would say, yeah, I made a swear, but I had my fingers crossed. You know, so it doesn't count unless you swear by the gold of the temple. See, I swore by the temple, but not by the gold. I had my fingers crossed. So Jesus says, you fools. How can you come up with this kind of excuse? I had my fingers crossed. Of course, they had all kind of foolish things that they did. Verse 18, whosoever shall swear by the altar, that don't count. But whosoever swears by the gift that's upon the altar, he's guilty. So if you swear, I swear by the altar of God, they would say. But that don't count. It's like having your fingers crossed behind your back, because It only counts if you swear by the sacrifice that's on the altar. These are the absurdities that they're up to now. So he says, verse 20, whoso therefore swears by the altar swears by it and by all things thereon. Whoso swears by the temple swears by it and by him that dwells therein. He that shall swear by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him that sits upon it. So them with their swearing, their oaths, and their lies, their deception, their falsehood. So let's consider now what Jesus said about the taking of oaths to his disciples. And I'd like you to look with me to Matthew 5 for that. Y'all still with me? All right, just a little bit longer. We just about done, maybe. Okay. Let me read Matthew 5 real quick. Here's what Jesus says, Matthew 5:33. Again, you have heard that it's been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear by thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. Thou shalt not forswear thyself. What does that mean? Don't swear falsely. Don't swear to a lie. You've heard that it's been said, don't do that. Where does it say that? It says that throughout the Old Testament. The third commandment. Don't do that. So he says, you've heard that it's been said, don't swear to a lie. And if you swear, you perform to God what you swear. Right? But I say unto you, so wait, does that mean he's about to change these things? But I say unto you, swear not at all. Neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it's his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because you can't make one hair white or black. Well, you can now, but not permanently. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. In other words, you say yes or no. Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil, or comes from the evil one, as Weymouth translates it. So here's Jesus on this. In the Old Testament, you've heard that it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, don't even look on a woman with lust in your heart, or you're guilty. You've heard it said in the Old Testament, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother, you're in trouble. He says, you've heard it said of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself. Don't swear to a lie. And if you do make an oath, you do what you promise. You know, if you make an oath to God, you do what you promise. He says, but I say unto you. So he's going to alter this, right? He's going to add something to it. I say unto you. Now, he must really be God to alter the Ten Commandments. I say unto you, don't swear at all. Now, what does that mean? You had a question, brother, or a comment?
I was wondering if you knew the origin of swearing on the Bible when somebody gives testimony.
I don't know where it originated, but it's a common practice in a courts.
Is that like swearing on God's name?
Well, there's a good question. Okay, they do. You know, whenever you go to court or if you've got to give a deposition or whatever, you have to swear. Do you swear? All right, so let's ask this question. Matthew 5, verse 34. But I say unto you, swear not at all. What does that mean? Well, let me give you the two main views. The two main views in Christianity as to what this means. View number one, it means don't swear frivolously or don't swear falsely. View number two, it means don't swear at all. So, which is it? Now, you can make an argument for either case, I guess. Most of the Christian materials that I've read, they seem to lean towards the view that somehow if you swear in court or swear on the Bible, you know, that you can tell the truth, that that's not included in this prohibition. And that's what, that's the position many of them take. And there are not as many, but there are those who believe it means don't swear at all. So they won't take an oath on the Bible. They won't swear in a court. And what do you do? Do you swear? You say no. They will allow you to affirm. And throughout the United States, it is the law. Nobody can make you swear. You can say, I do so affirm. I affirm that I will tell the truth. I affirm that the testimony I'm going to give you is true. But as far as swearing, you don't have to swear. So that doesn't have to even come into play here. And if in your conscience you feel like you should not swear at all, then I don't swear at all. And many times I've been called to testify and so forth. And whenever I have to do it, I'll say, I affirm that what I'm going to say is true. But yes, sir.
What about like pledges or maybe like an oath or like a pledge of allegiance, for example?
Well, I don't know that that enters into this about swearing at all, but that's something to consider. I have no problem with being loyal to my country as long as they don't ask me to be disloyal to my Savior. I do love the country I live in. I'm thankful for it. I think it's lost and heading in the wrong direction, but I pray for it. I think we actually have the worst government on earth, with the exception of every other government. So we pray for America, but I haven't found any place I'd rather live. I'm sorry. Yes, Brother Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. You know, I deal with real estate transactions all the time.
That's
every
true.
Day.
Yeah.
And these acts of sale and sales of easements, they're supposed to be sworn to. So I ask people, do you have a problem with swearing? Oh, no, I want to swear. That's what they tell me. I want to swear. I'm going to tell you the truth. I said, well, do you have to swear? Oh, yeah, I need to swear. So I'm the notary. I mean, am I breaking the third commandment?
You mean because they're swearing?
Yeah. I mean, I even ask them, are you sure you want to swear? Because I'll change it. In fact, sometimes I just change it for them.
It's not you swearing.
No, I know, but I'm the one they're swearing before.
Well, you know, there are many, many Christians who take the position that swearing in a court of law is somehow excluded. And if that's the way they want to look at it, that's between them and the Lord. When I read something like this, verse 34, I say unto you, swear not at all. Not by heaven, not by God's throne, not by earth, not by your own head, not by anything. So that would seem to mean don't swear at all. Yeah. And then you've got James. You've got James chapter 5. Let me read something over here that James said. James 5 and verse 12. James is writing to the church. We'll put his comments in the mix. He says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no, lest you fall into condemnation or judgment. Now, the principle here is simply this, that you're a Christian and you're supposed to speak the truth, and speak the truth, of course, in love. You are not expected to lie. You shouldn't lie. We are not liars. Liars have their part in the lake of fire, Revelation 21:8. So you and I speak the truth, and our words should be truthful. So if you're testifying to a thing, It should be trustworthy. Your yes should be yes. Your no should mean no. When you say yes, it means yes. When you say no, it means no. When God says that, I would imagine it means the same. So for us to swear actually implies that you can't trust me unless I do. So it's a thing to consider. Now, are we nitpicking if we say don't swear at all? Well, that's what Jesus said. Then it's between us how we actually apply these things to our lives, right? Amen. It's up to us. Now, suppose we take the view that it really doesn't mean don't swear at all. It means don't swear falsely or frivolously. Well, then that's exactly what the Jews believed, because that's the third commandment. Don't swear to a lie. So when Jesus said, but I say unto you, you know, you've heard that it's been said of old time, don't swear to a lie. But I say unto you, don't swear to a lie. So what's the difference? Y'all awake still? Okay. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. Think about it. Don't swear to a lie. You've heard that it said, thou shalt not forswear thyself and perform unto the Lord your oaths. But I say unto you, don't swear to a lie and perform unto the Lord your oaths. Is that what he said? No. He said, but I say unto you, don't swear at all. Okay. Yes, sir.
I hear sometime here in New Orleans, people say, I swear on my mama's grave.
Oh, boy, I've heard that, too. Yeah. More lies have been told on their mama's grave. But yeah, that was famous in high school. Their mama wasn't even dead, and they were swearing on their mama's grave. As a Christian, you and I are obliged to speak the truth. So our yes should be yes, our no should be no. Our words, we should mean what we say. We should not be deceptive. We should not practice craft so that people have to read between the lines to hear what we're really saying. You know, like the used car salesman? This one, or like the in the old days, the guys that sold horses, you know, the horse traders, they said. You know the story of the fellow who came to buy a horse, and the guy that's looking at the horse, he says, this horse looks good. And the guy that's selling it said, no, he don't look too good. The fellow that's buying it says, no, I think he looks good. I think I'll buy him. So he bought him, took him home, came back. A couple hours later, he said, that horse you sold me is blind. He said, well, I told you, it didn't look too good. Yeah. You have to read between the lines sometimes, you know. Too late now, you bought it. Yes, sir.
You know, back to swearing and affirming.
Yes.
You're not supposed to do anything except let your yes be yes and your no is no. So even when you say, well, I'm affirming, it's like a little bit more than just my normal yes and no. You see, I mean, that's what I'm saying. The whole idea of, like this is a little bit more
splitting
than
hairs, maybe?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Most people don't even know what they're doing when they say, I swear. Oh, I'm swearing to this. You're no problem.
Right.
So, in my heart, I know what it means, and I don't swear, I don't take an oath. But even when I say, well, I'm affirming, what's the difference? People say, what's the difference? You're affirming it, you're swearing it, what's the difference? You're adding something to
the difference would be that an oath, for one thing, or swearing is forbidden, and that an affirmation is simply is that what I tell you is going to be true. And I don't have to swear an oath to God or the Bible or any other thing. But I understand. I definitely understand what you're saying.
People aren't really swearing before God. They
Oh, yeah, they don't know.
You're more or less promising that what you're saying is actually true.
Yeah. So does that violate Matthew 5:34? If you're swearing, but it's not before God, you're not swearing by anything in particular.
Not at all. Don't even swear.
Well, there you go. Maybe it would be safe just to swear not at all.
Brother Rusty. Brother Rusty.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, then what is a promise then the same thing as swearing or affirming? I promise that what I say, what I'm going to speak, will be the truth to the best of my knowledge. Is that the same thing?
Apparently not.
Okay.
But it seems like it might be pretty close. But if your hands, you know, if you got your fingers crossed behind your back, it don't count. Oh, well, I'm not going to get through here tonight, I can see, because I still have a couple of other things I wanted to point out. Not much, but we'll deal with it next time. Before we get into the fourth commandment, we'll deal just a little bit more with the taking of oaths and what does it mean to take the Lord's name in vain. Well, we'll stop there. Father, we pray that you would give us all a greater understanding in these matters. Lord, our desire is to honor you and please you and serve you in all of our practices, including in our speech. So, Father, show us, illumine us, guide us, so that we honor you in all that we do. That's our desire, Lord. Lord, help each and every one of us to remember that your call is for us to be men and women of truth, that we're not to be deceitful, deceptive, crafty, or in any way dishonest. Lord, we thank you for teaching us. In Jesus' name, amen. See, all of this is part of ethics. Ethics has to do with how do we live? How do we apply our Christian faith to everyday life? So this is the kind of thing we consider. Yes, sir. With what? Well, you know what? Maybe we can talk about that next time as we consider how our lifestyle could possibly violate this commandment as well. Good point. Remember to bring that up next week.